The following podcast contains subject matter that you might find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. I want to show you something. It's through this open door. I want to show you something. You will exist no more. I want to show you something. To heavens you may soar. I want to show you something. To hell where fires roar. Or you may sit and linger from where you once resided, regretting every day the fate you have decided. But now they come to see you for tickets they have bought. Some of them will see you, and some of them may not. A bang, a creak, a shatter, a scream that they will share. To return to this house, they wouldn't even dare. They try to contact you until the night is done. Well, who knew that being dead was ever this much fun? Welcome to the world beyond the veil. This is Geist.
My name is Jim Dean, and for over 20 years, I have been the creative director of The Haunted Walk. We conduct ghost tours and lead paranormal adventures in Kingston, Ottawa, and Toronto, Ontario. If you think that sounds like a fun job, you're absolutely right. I feel pretty lucky to spend my days digging into historical research, building new experiences, hosting our Haunted Talks podcast, and working with our talented storytellers. There's nothing quite like having an audience hanging on your every word, eagerly anticipating a surprise twist or a shocking detail. On the really good days, you can hear the audience gasp in unison, or watch as they instinctively cover their mouths, realizing they are standing in the exact spot where something terrifying has happened. One common question we're asked by our guests is, has anything happened to you while giving a tour? For many of us, the answer is yes. I believe that because we are in these spaces so often, we can sometimes almost take the haunted nature of the place we share for granted. That's what happened to me one night at the Bytown Museum in Ottawa, the oldest and one of the most haunted buildings in the city. One October night, I was helping set up the museum for our groups, leaving the two other people in the building on the main floor, I headed up to the second. Halfway up, I suddenly was aware that someone was walking up the stairs behind me. At first, I thought nothing of it. It was so clear and obvious that one of my colleagues had followed me into the stairwell. However, when I turned back to speak to them, there was no one there. In this episode, we'll be taking you behind the scenes and sharing several first-hand accounts from our tour guides in their own words about the strange things they've experienced while working at our spooky sites across Ontario. We'll start in Kingston, Ontario, at Fort Henry National Historic Site. This historic military fortress was built in the 19th century to defend the city and the Rideau Canal against potential American invasions. Today, despite its dark history, it is a popular tourist attraction and a designated UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is also the site of some fairly extreme poltergeist activity.
Hi, my name is Karma, and I am a tour guide in Kingston, Ontario for the Haunted Walk, and I am stationed at Fort Henry. I love having the assignment of Fort Henry. It is a creepy historical place. Now, this happened earlier in the summer, and I was new, so this is my first season as a tour guide, and so I was only about 2 or 3 weeks into actually conducting tours when I had the most extraordinary thing happen to me. On our way up to the fort on this particular day, my colleague had actually warned me that things had been very active at the fort recently. And so I pressed him for details. What do you mean by active? He humored me by letting me know of a few slamming doors and some knocks on walls and noises that there were no explanation for. As I was leading my group through the tour for Henry, nothing was happening. It was very, very unremarkable. Not even a flickering light bulb. Even the spiders were not that bad that night. I was really just wondering where all the creepiness was and when was it gonna start happening for us. And I was getting a little disappointed. As I was getting to my last two stories, I was standing in front of what is considered to be Fort Henry's most haunted hallway. And I led them into the schoolroom. Well, as soon as we entered the schoolroom, the temperature dropped significantly. It was as if we had walked into a fridge. I had several of my guests rubbing their arms and looking around a bit nervously, as it was a hot and humid day, and every other inside of the fort had been actually quite uncomfortable. And so this difference in temperature was very discernible. And we then moved into the bakery. The bakery part sort of partitioned off. So I stand facing the guests with seeing the back of the room and the door, and the guests are facing me. Behind the guests was a very large antique wheelbarrow, just about left of the door. As I was telling the story and just getting to the part where I'm about to introduce them to our bakery poltergeist, the wheelbarrow starts to move completely on its own. It decides to vibrate very violently against the ground in a sharp staccato manner. It was so loud, it was absolutely shocking, and my guests reacted immediately. They parted like the sea in the room to get as far away from the wheelbarrow as they possibly could. So I decided to bring humor into the mix, and I said, "Oh, she was a bit too early. She missed her cue. Hey, everybody, this is Marianne, the bakery poltergeist. Let's give her a round of applause for the thrilling display." And I started clapping. And so then they all started clapping as they started to try and figure out what just happened. But I mean, this is what we came for. And so, yes, the applause, I believe, was actually genuine for Marianne in that moment. Interestingly, I was looking at the wheelbarrow at the exact moment that it had started to move. And I had a moment where I wondered if it was going to launch itself at me. I just had no idea what was going to happen, and I just simply stopped talking. I asked if anybody else had happened to be looking at the wheelbarrow as it had started to move, and it turns out that 3 of the other clients had seen it as well. So it was further confirmation that there was nobody touching it and nobody around it. As we were leaving, my colleague observed a young woman hanging at the back of the group. She folded her hands in prayer position and whispered a very fervent thank you to Marianne for the exciting show and wished her good night as she sort of backed away from the bakery, which I thought was absolutely endearing. As I led the guests out and I, said my goodbyes and I started locking up, I could hear them all behind the gate talking excitedly with one another. And this was a tour where they had only shown up in groups of 2s and 3s, so These guests were strangers, and now they had bonded over this remarkable experience.
My name is Kaya, and I give tours in Kingston, Ontario at Fort Henry. Over the years, I've been up to Fort Henry a dozen or so times for various seasonal events and bistro dinners, and it is pretty spooky up there during those times, but going out there when it is darkened and empty for tours is a completely different world. From training day one up there in the wine cellar, every time I entered that room, I felt like there was a presence behind me. Sort of like when someone is standing very, very close behind you, but not quite touching, still close enough that you can completely feel their presence. The first few times I turned around expecting to fully see a person. Eventually, I guess I just got used to it. The feeling never went away and it never decreased, but it also never got worse. On one tour, just as I began my story in the wine cellar, the group began to mumble amongst each other when I began. And I asked if everything okay. They told me that they heard knocking on the glass display a few feet away from the wine cellar door. Upon taking a few steps closer to the door, I could also hear the distinct sound of what I recognized to be knuckles on glass. The sound stopped when I tried to look and see what might be causing it, and I'm still not sure what it could have been. The glass was too far away for any of my guests to have, like, reached out the door and been knocking on it to try to play a little prank, and there was no one else in the hallway and no one in that room. In the hallway leading up to the wine cellar, there are several doors between different museum displays. They're always left open for tours. Myself and two of the guests who were in one of the rooms waiting for everyone to finish looking at the museum display and the one prior, we watched as the door between us all started to swing back and forth before swinging all the way open and then slamming shut. I like to tell myself that one was the wind, even though no one felt anything and none of the other doors moved. On my second last tour of the season, just after I began my story in the bakery, which is the final room on the tour, everyone heard a strange knock three very clear times. We looked around a little bit, and I hadn't seen anything initially, so I finished my bakery story and I led the guests back out. As I was saying goodbye to my guests and thanking them for joining me for the evening, one of the men who had been at the back of the group told me that he had seen a shovel behind me bang against the wall three times, causing the sound. It's a pretty small shovel that would have been used for shoveling coals into the old ovens. On my tour immediately following that one, once I began the bakery story again, the shovel began to violently swing back and forth. That tour was a private tour for a fellow Haunted Walk guest and a partner, so I took a little bit of time to see if I could recreate the same knocking from the week prior. But I was unable to actually do so without physically holding the shovel and manually banging it against the wall.
Beechwood Cemetery in Ottawa is the National Cemetery of Canada, serving as the final resting place for numerous notable Canadians, including politicians, military personnel, and cultural figures. Featuring beautiful landscaped gardens, monuments, and historic tombstones. Most visitors only get to visit the cemetery during the day, except if they come on one of our tours. Walking around an old cemetery at night can be a completely different experience.
My name is Elle, and I'm one of the guides who works out of the Ottawa office. One of our newer tours here in Ottawa is called Tales from the Mausoleum, and it takes place at Beechwood Cemetery. I do not like being inside of the mausoleum. I never have. Ever since my first training shift on this tour, I have had a deeply uncomfortable feeling inside the mausoleum that I do not experience anywhere else. I feel a deep sense of unease. I feel my anxiety rising into my chest to the point where even telling the story can be quite laborious. Now, on this particular night, I had on my tour, amongst the members of the public, my boyfriend, my sibling, and my sibling's boyfriend. I've been in the Beechwood Mausoleum many times now, so I've come to be familiar with the creaks and cracks and general settling sounds of the building. I was standing in the main section, the front section of the mausoleum, with my guests seated in the pews in front of me, telling the last story of our tour. All of a sudden, from one of the wings, not only myself, but all of the guests heard the sound of something falling. It sounded almost like a broomstick was falling over. There was not supposed to be anybody else in the mausoleum at this point in time. At the end of my story, I give folks a few moments to take a look around the main section. Now, what is family for other than doing things you told them not to? My boyfriend, my sibling, and my sibling's boyfriend head down into one of the wings of the mausoleum where we had heard the sound coming from. And they reported back saying that there was not only was there no one there, there was no broomstick or any other item that had fallen over that could have made the sound that we all so distinctively heard. And to this day, I am still wondering what made that sound that we heard. Now, in the basement of the mausoleum, there's a crematorium that was installed in 1962. This crematorium is no longer in use, as a more modern one has been installed elsewhere in the cemetery. My coworker came up to me and said that the light was on downstairs. And we have never seen this light be on inside the crematorium. As I and my guests looked through the cracks, we could indeed see that there was a light that had been turned on in the basement. I told my story as per usual, and we headed out of the mausoleum. I was the last tour running that night, and so I sent security a text letting them know that we had finished in the mausoleum and that this light was on. The mausoleum didn't feel particularly different that night, but the fact that that light was on gave not only the guests on my tour, but the guests on my colleague's tour as well, a very strange feeling that that wasn't necessarily right. So it leads us to wonder why the light was on.
The most active location we tour is Toronto's Black Creek Pioneer Village, an open-air heritage museum that recreates a 19th century rural Ontario community. It offers visitors a step back in time with authentically restored historic buildings, costumed interpreters, and interactive exhibits. Guests participating on our ghost tour of the grounds or our immersive Alone in the Dark experience routinely have strange encounters there, sometimes ones that even affect their dreams.
My name is Jack, and I am a haunted walk tour guide in Toronto. I've been with the Haunted Walk since 2014, and honestly, I've been invested in the paranormal field even longer than that. I do tours at all of the locations we operate at in Toronto. Out of all of the places I have ever spent any time, Black Creek Pioneer Village is probably the most haunted. I have been giving that to her since 2016. And consistently, almost every single night, I have something happen to me. A lot of the time, I don't acknowledge what I'm experiencing if I'm the only one having the experience. I never want to create any kind of bias when I'm on my tours. And that means that I tend to let the group speak about what's happening to them before I say anything about what I'm experiencing. But my experiences with the village, as we call it, started even before we began giving tours there. One night, I had a dream. I wouldn't necessarily call it a nightmare, but it was one of those types of anxiety or stress dreams. And in my dream, I was at the village giving a ghost tour. I had approached a particular building, and I was met at the door by this really kind of angry-looking woman. Maybe not angry, but serious. I had my entire group with me, and this woman just wouldn't let me into the home. I tried to explain to her that I belonged there, that I needed to bring my tour group inside. I was giving a tour, and she just stood there, silently preventing me from going inside. Eventually, my group and I realized we wouldn't be able to get around her, and so I brought them to the right side of the building and through a back door that led into a kitchen, and then I was able to bring them through the home. When I woke up from this dream, I found it strange. I'd never actually been to Black Creek before, so I had no frame of reference. I just knew in that dream way that that's where I had been. And I just chalked up this type of dream to the stress of not having yet looked at my script. I hadn't even opened the email that the script was contained in. I figured I ought to spend some time looking at the material. That afternoon, I took my laptop up to a cafe near my house, and I opened the email from my manager for the first time with the script inside it. And my jaw dropped. The very first story in the script for this brand new tour we were just launching involved a staff member at the village who one night had had a dream about one of the buildings on the property. And when she tried to go up to this building in her dream, she wasn't being allowed inside because of a very stern-looking woman. As soon as I realized I had had an almost identical dream without having ever even heard of this story, I sent a text to my manager to explain. I needed to know that I had some kind of witness for this really odd experience. My manager, thinking ahead, told me to describe the home to her in detail so that when we went to Black Creek, we would have a reference of what the house in my dream had looked like. A couple days later, we went up to do our walkthrough of the area, make sure we all knew where we were going to tell the stories. And as soon as I walked on the property, I was on edge because I knew there was a very small chance that I would see the building from my dream. I'd never been to Black Creek. I can't stress that enough. And everything was okay until I turned a corner and I saw the house from my dream. I had described it exactly the way it looked. The only thing I had gotten wrong was the color. In my dream, it was more of a gray. In real life, it's a bit of a green. This shocked me. I had no idea how I had managed to not only see this building in my dream, but also perfectly describe its layout without never having been there. And then also have a story that matched a former employee. But my experience with that house didn't end there. On the second night that I gave the official ghost tour, I was with my group and I approached this home. This is called the Berwick House. And as soon as I walked in through the front door, I looked in the room on my right and lifted my lantern up. And I saw a woman sitting on the couch in an old-fashioned, dark-looking dress, collar done right up under her chin. And I made eye contact with her. I realized in that moment that this was the woman from my dream. And unsettled, I put my lantern down only to lift it back up and she had vanished. I've tried to explain this experience so many times since I had it happen. And there is absolutely no way that I can logically explain who I saw other than saying I feel like it was something paranormal. In a building called the Second House, one of my most remarkable experiences that was shared by my entire group happened. I was telling my story upstairs on the second floor, and I was maybe about halfway through the story itself when suddenly we all heard really heavy booted footsteps coming up the staircase behind me. I always stand at the top of this staircase and it's quite dark, very ominous. So to hear somebody coming up this staircase, knowing full well that I was already into the tour and that I had my group in front of me, I just assumed it was a person, maybe someone late for the tour, coming to join us up the wrong staircase. These footsteps were so clear and so human that I actually stepped to the side to let this person up. Me and my entire group stared down this dark void of the staircase. There was no one there. And everybody in my group was accounted for.
On behalf of myself and all of our talented tour guides, I'd like to thank Danielle and all of our friends at the Geist Podcast for having us on to share some tales from the tours. We'd like to wish everyone a wonderful spooky season and, of course, sweet dreams.
Haunted tours are one of my favorite things to do during the spooky season, and the haunted walks are my favorite. For information on ghost tours and paranormal adventures, visit hauntedwalks.com. You can check out Jim at Haunted Talks Podcast, available on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. The Haunted Walks is offering Geist listeners 15% off of their tours in Ottawa, Kingston, and Toronto. To book, go to hauntedwalks.com and enter the promo code Geist at checkout. You won't regret it. Or maybe you will. Do you have a story you've been hiding? Submit it to us at hello.geist.podcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Geist is written and directed by Danielle Matar. Original music and FX by Bo Jensen. Geist is mixed by Adam Esker. Geist logo is by Jake Carruthers. Find us on Instagram at Geist_podcast and on TikTok at Geist Podcast. Thank you for joining us during the spookiest season. And until next time, sleep tight.